announcement that we can't, you know, speak to the same people every week.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. Before you can do this, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Oh, everything is good. Everything is good. Tomorrow night I have a fundraiser back in my hometown of North Merrick, where I grew up. It's for the PTA.
Oh, lovely.
And interesting how sometimes these kind of gigs, I think my dad must get me from the grave, you know, because they're like down the block from where I grew up, you know. And so I'm looking forward to it. It's for the, they're usually quite fun, you know. It's one of the group gallery readings. I always get a little bit of stage fright before them, but they always turn out to be okay. But it's, you know, I like to do the fundraisers. It's important. And so,
oh, yes, of course.
I look forward to them. And so how are you doing tonight?
I am doing pretty okay. You know, same old over here. Lisa and I are, keep plugging away. And that's about it. I'm having a lovely time right now staring at this lovely blue bar across my screen, though, Cindy, because it appears that we are having some telephone issues. Surprise, surprise, listeners. We've got some problems with Blog Talk Radio. So, I don't know. Hopefully, we'll be able to pick up some people tonight. Guys, don't forget to press the number one, please. I'm not sure if I'm going to see you press the number one, but we'll play that by ear. You guys might be stuck with us for a couple of minutes, though, until Blog Talk gets this all figured out.
Yeah, it's funny because they've been having a little bit of difficulties, and I don't know how they fix them or don't fix them, but it always gets a little nerve-wracking. That's why the nights when you're not here, I always pray, please let it all go well, because otherwise I'm stuck here on my own.
I have a call, and so I started a chat with customer support, so, you know, I'm standing by right now. So hopefully our listeners will actually just be able to be entertained by you and I talking for a little bit until I actually see that lovely little number one come up next to some of these phone numbers. And it seems like we've got a lot of numbers there. I just don't know who wants to get picked up and who doesn't want to get picked up. So, but we'll see.
Right.
They're working
on
it.
That's for sure. And also, did you get the little email that I got saying, please do not put anyone on the show more than once a month? Did you get that one? Because I got it.
Well, that's just not realistic that we can't put anybody on once a month. You know, I mean, out of four shows a month, you do have a lot of repeat people. But, yes, they're cracking down on our content. So, you know, we need some new
blood. If you've spoken to us in the last few weeks, if we can't pick you up, it's because we can't pick you up.
Well, what amazes me about Blog Talk is that you know, we always have a problem with them, and they have the nerve to try to mandate content. That just makes me laugh because, you know, it's get your shit to work right and maybe we'll listen to some of your content.
I know, it's for
but
sure.
Until you get my show to work right, how am I going to listen to you? So my show is not going to work right, and I'm not going to be able to pick up any of my usual people because your show's not working right. So I don't get it. You're not kidding.
And
yeah,
you know what? Since we're not able to really pick up anybody right now, unless you want to talk to us, please press 1 because we will know that you want to talk to us. Otherwise, we will have no, you know, we have no idea what's going on. Anyway, what I've been finding is a real problem now more than ever is this people connecting with soulmates and it working for a year, even 2 years. And then out of the blue, these people get scared and ghost or disappear. And it's happening a lot to the people in their, like, 30s, you know, when it's supposed to be like, okay, we've been together 2 years, so now, you know, it's going to be time to maybe get married or move in, get engaged, have a baby. And it's not just the men, it's the women, and it's not just the straight people, it's kind of everybody. But it's a little bit frightening that, you know, I have all these clients in the last month or two really upset because these people just pretty much ghosted them and didn't give them any explanation as to why they've disappeared.
Well, here's my take on that, okay? And I know that I say this a lot on the show, but it really, really is true, which is why it kind of carries over from one subject to another. In this particular way, technology is our enemy. In this particular, you know, in this particular category and during this time, technology is not as helpful as one might think. Now, technology can actually be extremely helpful when you know how to use it, but just like when you have drugs involved, just like when you have, you know, alcohol involved, just when you have any, you know, food involved, if you have a food addiction, just like with any other addiction, technology is in fact an addiction. And we no longer know how to create meaningful relationships organically anymore. We constantly have to filter out our relationships through text messaging, through emails, and through a bunch of other things. And I'm not saying that that is not the case with, you know, people that are together for 2 years, but what I'm thinking is happening is that it is taking them that long to develop that connection where they're finding out extremely late in the game that they no longer want to be in that particular relationship or that something there is amiss. Or they're sitting on their phones, on their things, they're sitting comfortably with people, okay, that they have invited into their little world. And guess what? You've got Tinder, you've got Grindr, you've got Match.com, you've got eHarmony, you've got all of these other things where you are constantly getting put, you know, constantly getting these other options in your face. And it's kind of like having, you know, it's kind of like being really, really hungry and going into a restaurant and picking up your menu. And instead of having five things to make your decision easier, guess what? You've got 95 things and now you no longer know what you want to eat even though you're starving. And that's what's happening with relationships and that's what's happening with people today is that, you know, we constantly look at everything through a filter. We look through the Facebook filter. We look through the Instagram filter. We look through the text message filter. And we no longer have to just look in somebody's eyes and see what they're thinking and experience them for them.
Exactly. And it's, you know, what I'm asking is anybody out there, you know, please give an explanation, you know, if it's a long-term relationship particularly. It happens to be the phenomenon that's really odd is that the relationships were going really, really well. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a fight. There wasn't anything going wrong. And all of a sudden, the person just kind of disappears. And then, you know, if when the other partner kind of forces something out of them, it's just like, well, I'm too busy right now with work, or it's just not the right time, and it's really like some lame excuses. And you know, I do believe it's like a lot what you're saying. They either tempted by, you know, the Tinder or something out there. I mean, I know the men are very good at sabotaging the other men's romances, you know, because they're having these bromances with their friends. Just come out and drink with us, do this. So I think some of it is their friends sabotaging it. But it's painful because, you know, I'm starting to feel very sad for people because they really, you know, they come for readings and they really still want this person. And, you know, they don't seem to wrap their head around the fact that I said, you know, your partner has to be pretty narcissistic to do this, to just disappear. And,
that means that they have to make a decision. It means
and it's about
we're
them.
Coming into reality now. We need to make a choice. We need to sit with this decision for the rest of our lives.
Right. And it's like, you know, we used to know in life if you opened one door, you had to close another. Like everyone wants to keep all the doors open. I want
well,
to be single,
you know
but I want
and
to
that's
be committed.
That's exactly why they ghost. That's
right.
why they
so
don't break up. That's why they ghost, you know, because if they ghost and they don't say, listen, I just don't want to be with you, okay, and they actually sever that tie, there is no going back. If they ghost, it's like, listen, I was kind of screwed up and I got scared, and then I decided that, you know what, I did want to be with you. Yes, after you go, you went and you sampled the rest of the menu, you decided that you wanted to go back to the first thing. You know,
right,
and that's exactly what people are doing. And it's disgusting, you know, because instead of just giving your all into one thing, you're spreading yourself too thin. You know, it's like in the business world. There's no such thing as multitasking. If you try to do multiple things, you're really not getting anything done any quicker. All you're doing is distracting yourself from completing one task with doing three other things. If you break down the amount of time that you're taking to try to multitask, this is actually a proven fact, you're actually completing each task in a longer time. You know, you could sit there and write an email and try to answer somebody's questions, and every time you have to pause, guess what? You're actually sitting there, and you're taking longer to write that email instead of saying, come back in 5 minutes. You know, this is a known fact. They've done studies on this. There's no such thing as multitasking. It is only distraction. And you know what? When you do things like this, it's because you are overly distracted, and you are allowing yourself to get distracted because it is easier to entertain a distraction than it is to open yourself up, be vulnerable, and communicate with a person. I mean, you can
exactly.
look at any dinner table in any restaurant, and I can guarantee you that on the majority of the tables, you will see people's cell phones sitting right there on the table. Or, worse, you will see people texting on the phone. If you have to sit there and be on the phone, okay, and constantly check your phone and look at your phone while you're in front of another person, and you're too concerned with what's going on Facebook or who's not there, then you've got a problem.
Exactly. And it's funny because we went to a formal dinner of like a ball on Saturday night, and I had a hotel room, and I left my phone upstairs, and you know, everybody had their phones on the table, and like people kept asking me where my phone was, like why my phone wasn't there, and I'm like, well, I kind of left it up there, not on purpose, but it is Saturday night, and I do have clients messaging me all day long and emailing me all day long, and they want immediate responses, and it kind of feels good, like, no, I'm out. This is my night off, and, like, I'm not going to answer them for a few hours, and you all live. But I can understand why people get nervous about it, because then I'll get messages from people saying, well, I guess you're mad at me because I bothered you too much. Excuse me? Like, because I didn't answer them right away? Do you know what I mean? Like, so that's what you take from that? Not that, oh, it's Saturday night, 10 o'clock at night. Maybe she's out or, you know, doing something else for the evening. But it's that, you know, that kind of snide thing that you get when you don't pick up your phone all the time. So, you know, these are things with technology. Give people a little, you know, if they don't answer you, they're not mad at you, they might be doing something else. And if you are in a relationship and you don't know what to say or do, do anything but ghost, please. Have the courage to give your, especially if it's been a year or two in the making, and someone really thought, you know, a lot of the people, they were just talking the week before about getting married, and then the person ran. They go, well, that's why they ran. You talked about marriage, and all of a sudden, yeah, they were on board, and then they got scared. I mean, it's not a coincidence that they ran away, but it's so painful and hurtful to people. So, you know, we're really going to work on the mantra is don't ghost, you know, and okay, we do have a few people coming through. I know that the 0557. Did you see that? Clicked up the number.
I don't see the trigger to. Do you see the trigger to pick up the call? Because I don't see that.
Yes, I do. And also, if anybody wants to talk to us, you do have to press 1. I know the 8395 number
it may
wants
or may
to
not
talk
work.
To us.
Press it once press it more than once if you need to, just in case. So, all right. So,
Hello,
I did not pick this person up. So,
you're live on the air. Can you hear us? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello, you are live and on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was picked up.
Okay. Hi, is this Anna?
Yeah, that's funny. You already recognize my voice.
Yes, I recognize your voice. I love you. I recognize my soulmate friends. Now, I know you sometimes do text me and ask me things, and, you know, you can ask us anything you want.
I just, you know, since it's the new year, I just wanted a general, like, what's going to happen this year.
Okay. Let's see what's going on here. All right. First of all, there are some changes here. I hope you're happy with your work. Are you happy working? Because it looks like you're going to be working for a while.
Yeah, it can get a little stressful, but sometimes it's okay.
Okay, well, you know, working is hard. That's why they call it work. But but it looks like you're actually doing very well with that. You know, in terms of you know, your marriage. I see there's some ups and downs here, but I don't see you leaving it anytime soon. You know, that looks like a pretty given here. I could see that you're a little bit, depressed and not entirely happy. Are you trying to make some friends and do some things outside of your marriage so you have some people you talk to and things?
Yeah, here and there, but not too many.
Because there's a lot of loneliness in these cards, and I know you're married, but it seems like there's not a lot of interaction going on between you and your husband. Are you trying to work on the communication?
Sometimes I feel like it, and sometimes I don't.
I know. Well, first of all, you're a working mother. You have kids. You have a husband. I know you're kind of tired, but, you know, there's not much, there's not much big change showing up here in the following year. It does look like, your job, you'll be okay with your job. I mean, I do see you making a friend or two, which I think would make all the difference in the world. I mean, sometimes our husbands can't fulfill all of our needs, and we do need to have some other people in our life. Your
mm-hmm.
kids look good. They actually look like school. School looks okay for them, too. I know you're usually concerned with one of your children making friends, but that looks like that'll be happening, too. So
mm-hmm.
there's nothing bad in your cards. They're actually, nothing major. If you want change, it looks like you're going to have to be the one who makes the change happen.
Right, right.
I don't see anybody else change in your life. That's always a lot on women because, you put your children first, your husband first, everybody first. But this is a year I would kind of pray to do what's best for everyone, including yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see a little more happiness in your cards.
Mm-hmm.
Do you try to enjoy your children?
Yeah, I try.
Kids are a pain in the ass, sometimes. But, they look like basically pretty good kids here. But it's mainly, if you're asking is there any big changes in the upcoming year, not really, unless you make those happen. I mean, it's not a bad thing. Your cards aren't bad. Everything will kind of be the status quo. It's you having to make up your mind what you want out of life. And,
right.
I wouldn't quit that job. You're not planning on quitting it, are you?
No, no.
Because that's sort of your key to, what you need to do in the future. And
mm-hmm.
You did just move, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you've settled into the new house and everything?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, and does it feel like home?
Yeah, now it's more comfortable.
I know. You went through a lot. A move is a big strain and a big stress on
mm-hmm.
people. It's just mostly that your cards look like there's a little bit of boredom in your life. So I don't know what you can do to change that. Do you take one night a week at least to go somewhere, like a yoga class or something that you could do that's just for you?
Not really.
I know. It's hard because when you're a working mother, there just seems like there's no time. But
mm-hmm.
that's part of what becomes hard because you can't just work, take care of the kids, take care of everybody and not have something that's a little fun. So, think if you could find something that's an interest of yours. Do you have something that's a passion for you that you like to do?
Not really.
Okay. I mean, it helps. It does help if you develop something, some interest in something because it's just basically a little boring here in your cards. It's just a little boring. Is your life a little boring, Anna? Because it's a little boring here.
Kind of just work.
Kind of. But there's not a lot of drama, so I'm glad for that. But no big changes in any way. I mean, your husband's job looks pretty solid and good, and money looks fine. Nothing. I don't see anything big happening, like in the next year or so, unless you decide to do it. Something major. Do you feel like you have that in you?
Oh, not really.
I know. So, just count your blessings that your kids are good and things are pretty stable and, but I don't see, any miracle going to happen to, make your life exciting at this point. And, you have to kind of have something that's of your own and think about that. I mean, you have a lot of gifts and things you probably haven't discovered yet, and a little passion of something that you do. I mean, mothers can't just be moms. They can't just go to work. They just need something. And for some women, it's they go to a dance class, they draw, they write, they do something. So figure out what you can do, because you do have a lot of gifts. I just don't think you've discovered them yet.
All right.
Well, do us a favor, call in again, and just be happy there's nothing major, okay? There's no major bad things, so
right.
That's a good thing.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, Nicole, you know in life we have to make the changes if we want them.
Oh, yes.
And you know, actually, if you're...
Been there many times.
And if you want change and it's not happening... You know, God's really pretty patient with us for a couple of years, up to 5 years in any situation, and he won't really rock our world. But every 5 years, we get a wake-up call. So if we're not happy in our life, and, you know, somewhere, you know, every 5 years, God, you know, kind of gives us a zap. And that's why I usually like people to try to do something to make their life better before the zap, because when God kicks us in the ass, it hurts a lot more to move us forward.
Oh, yeah.
So... You know, if you're not happy, and there's a lot of people, and this time of year, I think people get that little kind of doldrum. These are long, cold days, and, you know, sometimes when it's just those beautiful summer days or spring days, just going out for a half an hour feels like a vacation. So then the days are a little longer, you know, it's depressing when it gets dark so early. But, you know, if you're in that kind of a slump, figure out what could you do. I mean, I know you've discovered a lot of stuff. Lisa discovered kickboxing when she was, you know, just recently. And I wasn't a psychic medium until I was 41. I didn't have any of these gifts. So kind of, you know, you're never too old to discover what gift you might have. And if you're not totally happy in your life, sometimes you have to get something for yourself. And that helps you find your way. And, you know,
absolutely,
just keep looking for those gifts. Just keep looking for those gifts we have. And you're never too old to learn something, don't you think? Just learn something
absolutely.
New.
Every day people should strive to find something that inspires them. If you're not inspired by anything, then that's the reason why your life is going to get boring and suck, okay? It's because, you know, you need that inspiration. You need to keep growing. You cannot stagnate. You know, water is beautiful, but any body of water, if it sits still, will get moldy and disgusting and smelly, and nothing will be able to live in it. And there will be lack of circulation, and eventually it will become nothing but muck, you know. So I mean, and that's you know, one of the most beautiful things, you know. So, but if you continue to move like water, and you continue to go with the flow like water, and you continue to embrace things like water, then guess what? You will find things that will be inspirational to you. You will keep on moving, you will keep growing, and you will keep doing things that keep you guessing even about your own life, and that'll make every day new, and that'll make every day worth living.
Exactly. So we're always looking to try something new, discover something new. Now we have two people queued up. Okay.
I kind of took
Lynn, you
want
to tell us about Lynn?
Yeah, I kind of took stabs at people. I just kind of started picking up numbers at random to see if anybody wanted to talk. So, we're going to talk to Lynn, and Lynn is in New York. And she spoke to you, Cindy, about, you know, a little less than a year ago regarding a relationship. And you told her, you know what, it's going to be a tough road. Just hang in there and be patient. And she did. And here we are a little, you know, almost a year later. And you know, while she was doing her thing and being patient, she was seeing other people and she was kind of, you know, dating, nothing too serious. But now finally, this person has been, you know, that she was kind of waiting and holding out for, they're dating, and they've been dating for 4 months, and it's been wonderful for her and it's great. But now she wants to know, do you see the future? I mean, it was a long road to get here, but now, you know, is this a good path to a future, or, you know, what kind of walk are they taking here? So let's hear a little bit more from Lynn. Hello, Lynn. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Cindy. How
well,
are you?
Well, you did get him to date you, huh? I'm impressed with that. You know,
I did.
And can you, for our listeners' benefit, how'd you get him to finally, you know, see you as, you know, outside the friend box, or how did you manage to do that?
Well, we were I mean, dating pretty much, but he was just kind of like holding back a lot, you know, a lot of intimate things and, you know, and I couldn't really understand because I knew he kind of enjoyed my company and we had a good time, but he was just would not budge, you know, he was just holding back a lot. But I just kept on going, and finally he, you know, really started unfolding and, you know, giving me more than, you know, what I actually wanted. So I'm happy. I just know that it'll probably be a long, you know, it'll still be long, but is there any kind of future with this
guy?
Okay,
it's good that normally I like people to date a full 3 or 4 months before I do like a relationship reading on them. And he seems to care about you very much. I would even say he loves you. Has he told you that yet?
Well, he did tell me that he thinks he loves me. He's just very afraid.
Right.
He's scared.
Right. And I see a lot of fear here, but, you know, the cards actually look decent on him. I mean, he's afraid of getting hurt. He's also tended to, you know, like everybody else, they fall for the prince or princess that becomes the beast. You get hurt, sometimes you're like really a little gun shy. But, you know, he's known you long enough. He knows you are who you are. I don't know if he wants to get married in the future or anything like that. Do you want to get married?
I don't know necessarily get married, but I'd like to maybe live with someone.
Right. And have you ever talked to him about that?
Oh, no, we're not near there. Like, you know,
right.
I'm a little afraid to say something about that.
Right. I mean, I would tell you he might be terrified if you said that, okay?
Right. That's why, you know, I'm always very cautious what I say.
How often do you see him now?
Oh, I see him at least 3 or 4 times a week.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it looks like a very committed relationship. He hasn't fully surrendered to it yet. It's a little bit different. He's committed. But surrendering means you finally admit you don't want to live life without the person, that life is better with the person. And, you know, if you just keep doing what you're doing and don't push too hard, he looks like he will, you know, he will continue to be in your life. He enjoys your company. And, you know, it looks like it actually is progressing along pretty good here. There's no, I don't see any major red flags. I mean, sometimes with someone who's afraid of commitment, between the 3 and 6 month mark, they pull back sometimes. They stop seeing you. So if you notice that he starts, like, all of a sudden he can't see you so much, or he's limiting how often you could see or talk, I would then address that with him if he pulls back. But
okay.
if he doesn't do that, just enjoy it. Are you trying to enjoy him?
Oh, I'm totally enjoying him.
Right, and
totally.
He enjoys
you
too.
You know, sometimes I get disappointed with certain things, but I kind of just, you know, I back off a little.
What kind of things disappoint you?
Just sometimes when he's, you know, when his children come over and he has like a something, you know, he has plans with me, and he'll be like, oh, the kids are staying, they're still here. But I feel like he should, like, tell his children, I have plans with so-and-so, you know. I know it's his kids, but I feel like I don't think his kids know anything about me. So, I don't know, sometimes that hurts, but then sometimes I understand it. So he'll have me, like, waiting sometimes. So he'll, like, say he's coming at 6:30, but he doesn't come till like, 7:45.
Well, you know, it's funny because our generation of parents tend to be like the Santa Claus parents, and we always do everything to the kids. And, you know, divorced parents often don't want people to know everything that's going on, so we might be covering it up a little bit. But, you know, that can change in time here. You know, I would hope eventually you could get to meet his kids. I think they would like you if they got to know you. How long has he been divorced or separated?
Well, he's 2 years today.
Okay.
And I'm actually 6 years today, so.
So, I mean, I think there's just a little bit, you know, he's still kind of, you know, it still feels like he's, to him, feels too recent to bring someone around his kids. They look like they're grown kids. How old are they?
Almost 17 and almost 19.
Okay, so they're, you know, they're old enough to get with the program now. But I wouldn't push him too much on it because it looks like he really is afraid, you know, to bring it forward a little bit. So, you know, just be patient. I don't see any big red flags here with him. He actually looks like a really, you know, good guy. So,
yeah, he is a really good guy.
I mean, really, he does. He looks like a really good guy here. And if you be a little patient, I'm sure that things will move along, you know, the way you want them to. And, you know, he seems to really care about you. He really got hurt from the divorce. Do you know about that? Did he discuss it with you?
No, he really hasn't discussed that with me, you know. You know, he said a few things, but nothing major.
Okay, well, I just think that, you know, he's still stinging. It, you know, 2 years even, it's like kind of new for a divorce. It takes a little while to get used to being divorced. You know that. It's not, you know, people were married a long time. You know, in some ways he doesn't want his children to judge him. And children are pretty judgmental, by the way. And,
yes, I know.
You know, you know what I'm saying. So, you know, so I think he's just afraid of what they may say and do. But just keep being the person you are. And I'm sure within, you know, 6 months to a year, he probably would let you meet his kids and bring you into their world. And,
okay.
You know, and, you know, I think he feels bad when he does put them ahead of you. But, you know, he still has a lot of guilt about the divorce. So,
right.
You know, unfortunately, you know, good people have a lot of guilt. Nothing is bad, though. It looks like he's actually progressing along good. I mean, so I'm not seeing any big bad cards here. So, you know, hang in
okay.
there and be a little patient. I mean, you got him to actually see you 3 or 4 times a week. I'm really impressed with this.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I
you know.
People are always saying, wow, you're really seeing him a lot now. So, yeah, no, I'm happy, you know. So.
But just know that when it comes to kids and divorce and parents, there's always that little fear, you know, that if they bring them forward too soon or, you know, children are very odd, you know, about things. You know, I don't know if you watch the show This Is Us, but,
yes.
You know, it's a pretty, you know, Kevin is like, can't even accept that his mother is with Miguel, who was the father's friend. But she didn't connect with him for 9 years after the father died. And he still can't accept that she's got somebody else. Like, he's finally coming around a little bit, but he's like, you know, 37 years old. So
right.
I mm-hmm. think it's kind of common with kids that they don't want to necessarily accept. And I'll even have, you know, do readings for someone who lost their father, say, when they were 10 and maybe they're 30 now. And if the father says something from the other side, like, oh, I'd like to bring your mom someone, like the son or daughter will get really upset. I don't want her to have anybody. She has me. Like it's really weird. You know what I mean? Like that they don't want, children sometimes don't want their parent to have somebody else, even if, you know, they're divorced or the person died. So sometimes we can't really enable people to do that. I mean, I always tell people to tell kids like that, well, if your 17-year-old says you can't date anybody, tell them, well, you can't date either for the rest of your life, nor can you ever have sex. So we'll make that deal
right.
together. You know what I mean? If you do it, I'll do it. You know what I mean? But it seems
right.
like something's happened in America where children think they have the right to tell their parents what to do. I think we've gone the extremes from, I mean, I could never tell my parents what they could do. I'm sure you couldn't either.
No.
But it's almost gotten to the other extreme where kids can tell us what to do too much. So I think, you know, it takes a little while for people to get over that. But it's not, what he's experienced is kind of common. So he's not doing anything that most people don't do when they first get divorced. So, you
okay.
know, just
give
it some time. Call in and let us know. But he looks like a really good guy here, too, by the way.
Great.
Like,
thank you so
like
much,
he looks like a nice
Cindy.
Man. Thanks for calling in and sharing that with us.
Great.
I needed to hear a woman that got a guy who wasn't really wanting to see her regularly, I love that, you know.
Oh, really?
That's the good news here. You know, you got to take to the next step, you know? So.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. Patience is the key.
Exactly. Well, thanks for calling in. We're going to try to get another caller.
Great. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Nicole. So you saw that person got somebody to, like, see her regularly. That's good. We like that.
Yep.
And, again, you know, it is difficult when there's divorce involved and, you know, everybody's judgment of whatever. And good people tend to care what other people think a lot. You know, it bothers them. Narcissists don't really care. It doesn't bother them in the least. They'll do whatever they want. But good people seem to be the ones that are, like, so concerned what everybody's going to say or do, and they want to please everybody. So I think we have to teach people that prayer, pray to do what's best for everyone, including yourself. You know, stop being a martyr. You can put, it's okay to put yourself a little bit first there. And, you know, kids will get over it. They'll have to get over it. And, you know, you should be happy if you're, you know, if someone's happy. Don't you think if somebody's got someone to care about them, be happy. You know, it's a good
thing. I think everybody should be happy.
Right. You know, be happy. You know, don't, but, you know, it's really amazing how much kids tell their parents, don't date anybody else, don't see anybody else. It's really crazy stuff.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous.
It's a little shocking to me when, you know, a grown child doesn't want their mother or father to have someone else after their, you know, father died or mother died. I mean, some of these people are like 50 years old. Were they going to be alone for 50 years? You know?
Yeah, seriously.
It's absurd. So, I mean, if any of our listeners feel that way about their parents, they might want to examine that it's a very selfish thing. And, you know, the dead, you know, don't want their mates to be alone. Like, the dead have the easier part of it. They don't have a body. They don't have to worry about money or things like that. But when you're on Earth, you know, it's nice to have someone help you or be there for you. So, you know, think about if the dead are okay about it and they're not jealous about it. How about the living be a little okay and let their parents move on and have somebody else, if they're so blessed, to find another person.
Seriously.
And now we have John. Now, John is the John who's been calling in for a while, and you might want to fill in our listeners. Do you know which John this is?
Oh,
you should,
yes.
You know.
Well, John, for the listeners that might not be familiar with him, he called us for a while, and John's actually probably one of the people that kept calling in that we got yelled at for. But anyway, John had called in very, very frequently regarding his love that had ghosted him. And she was going through some personal issues. She was having some medical issues that he was very, very open and honest about. And, you know, he was heartbroken, and he wanted her to come back to him. And she was, you know, she was not treating him right, in my personal opinion. But eventually things wound up working out a little bit, you know, where they actually spoke again. But it's not all peaches and cream. And John has an update with what happened when they did get back in touch and where they are now. So here we go with John.
Hello.
John.
Hello,
John. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Hey,
hi, guys.
I love the analogies. I know the analogies. I love the analogies that you're using tonight with the water and flowing with the water. And I got some really good information I'm listening to, keying in on tonight.
I'm on tonight, aren't I?
yeah, totally.
Sometimes
totally,
I have to let Nicole talk more because I get the emails, Cindy, shut up. Can we hear Nicole? So, I mean,
no, it's good stuff. I like the analogies. Yeah, I'm full of analogies sometimes when I explain some things, how I'm feeling. I come up with an analogy, and people look at that better than me articulating really what's going on, you know?
Right, for sure.
But, so basically, everything came back to full circle. You guys all said the door's not shut, she's coming back, and she did. And then what happened, we started getting close again, getting close, and then she started pulling back again. And when she started pulling back, I started pushing more. And I pushed it all the way to Thanksgiving to speed up the clock. And, you know, I don't think her mother really knew about me being back with her. And I don't think she really has the – I think her husband is just separated right now. I don't think there's any movement with them getting divorced. I think she's just, you know, allowing him to, you know, she's allowing him to softly leave from her because he's been kind of like bugging her a little bit. So she told me in the beginning, and I know he's, you know, been around, and she's told me he's cried to her and stuff. But they never had anything ever, you know, in the entire thing, their marriage, you know, in their marriage. But and he was never really a concern to me. It was always her with these other guys when I had read her emails, and that's why I had to, in the beginning, went back to my house in the beginning because I thought maybe I was just going to be one of those other schmucks. And it ended up being that she kept on coming back because, you kiss, you fall in love, and, you know, when you least expect it, it happened. And unfortunately, I got wrapped up in a situation where I fell head over heels for this woman. Crazy, crazy about it. Still, and you guys are talking about the stupid patience and tolerance and all, and that's what's been around me for the whole week. I've been to a couple of meetings, and they're talking about patience and tolerance and is our code. And I'm like, fuck, excuse my language.
We're PG-13. We're allowed to say that.
Okay, I'm like, who the hell wants to have patience and tolerance? I thought I had enough patience. You know, I thought I had patience of a freaking saint right now. But obviously, my learning is not over with. And I think I'm starting to get it that, you know, John, you allowed your life to become unmanageable chasing this, and you want to take care of anything else in your life. And then until you start really putting that together, you're not going to get rewarded with anything in the universe.
Exactly. I mean, that's
at
a really important thing. And, you know, I don't think you were on the air called in yet when we were talking about people disappearing from people in the height of love, and it's really painful. And part of our lesson in those is really perseverance, you know, and that we have to learn to be able to survive on this earth, whether someone's in our life or not. It doesn't mean, you know, soul connections never die. They're always there. You know, they're there.
Right.
And we commune with them telepathically. And it doesn't die. But sometimes if this person isn't going to be healthy for us. And remember, when love goes from good to toxic, it's an addiction. And again, then we're hooked on these people. And how did that make our life better? It didn't. So, you know, what I'm seeing with her is she's scared. She's afraid of this love. She's afraid of commitment and committing. And the thing that I've been saying all day in my readings to people is, you know, when you open one door, you have to close another. You can't open a door to love with a soulmate, and yet you still want to keep all the doors to Tinder and Bumble and all that open. How is
right.
But that's what people are doing. And this has been I've been going through for like a month with my clients. It's like, no, you know, even when people entered the priesthood or something, they knew they were going to choose to be a priest, and supposedly they were going to be celibate, you know, whether they are or not, it's another story. But you opened that door, and so you closed another. Like, people have to understand, if you're going to open a door to a committed relationship, well, then you have to close it. I mean, I'm seeing it with all that my clients, the guys, they still want to go to Burning Man, and have like an orgy once a year when they're engaged or married. And I'm like, you know, you got to stop that. You know, you can't, expect people because you're telling them, well, you know, I want to cheat sometimes because they're telling you that they're going to do this, that we should accept it. I mean,
can I say something to you? I didn't want to go on these apps. But I went on these apps, and I started seeing her on these apps. I was like, fuck this. I gotta put my shit out there and just let her know that, you know, I'm not a stupid guy, and I'm not an ugly guy, and somebody's going to like me, too, to give her a little something to worry about, because I really feel that she really does love me, and she just has a hard time connecting with the, because I want it all. I want to be married and stuff, you know? I think if I gave her some room and really some space and wasn't so crazy about it, you know, be probably a little bit better off with this girl, you know, and then laugh at some of the things she says to me. But I don't want to be on these things. I don't. And I did meet somebody. I met a girl, San Francisco girl was here in Sunnyside, but I don't want to be there. And I was very honest with her. I told her I'm in love with somebody else, and I got to be honest, I'm just looking for a friend. And I was upfront and honest the whole way, because I'm 52 years old, I know what I want in life, I know who I love very much, and I just... No, guys.
Okay,
like,
but I'm
going to
tell you, don't go on these sites if you're not looking for a relationship, because people get hurt because of this. Like, you know, you're not supposed to be, you're on these sites because you want to get her jealous, and then it'll distracting for you because it's not fair to the people on the other end.
Yeah,
I mean, you
that,
might say we just want to be friends, but sometimes people, they go out for you, they feel more, they get hurt. So it's kind of like, you know, just because you're telling them not looking for anything, you just want to be your friend, but you're on these sites, so it's it's a little confusing for everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe for your own, you know, sake, stay off these sites if you're not really looking for something. If you want to look for friends,
I'm on
go to one site.
I'm on one site, Bumble. I'm gonna shut it down tonight. I'm not on Match.com. I only went on Match, and I didn't
because you're
gonna
feel bad hurting people, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally. Because I think you know,
and if you don't want her to be using
feelings.
You, if you don't want you know the woman you love to be using you, you can't use other people. And even though, again, you're being honest, I'm not looking for a relationship, but too many of my clients are on these sites, and they're getting hurt by guys who they go out for a few dates and or they go out
and
with
like
them, and they just and they like him, and they think they're going to change him. He's really, you know, he says he's not looking for romance, but I think I can get him to. So, you know, maybe, you know, she sees you're on there. You can leave the profile up there if you want. You don't have to work, you know, do the stuff, you know, if you want to make her jealous. But be careful about being out there and meeting people and maybe hurting them, because it just seems to be that everybody's using these sites for probably what they're not meant to be for.
Cindy, can I tell you something? You're a piece of work. I cannot believe how you see shit in me. I cannot believe how you read me. You're reading me like a book right now, because this, I did meet somebody, and we've been hanging out, and I think she's starting to catch feelings, and I'm like, I don't want to be anything but more than friends, and I want to try and back out of this, you know? But it's kind of nice. I like hanging out, watching TV, and not being alone.
Okay,
you know?
But then, you know, you have your, you know, things that you want to do, and you don't want it to grow, and because you've told her that. I mean, just because we tell people, you know,
You're not right.
Doesn't mean that person's, you know how they call it that, you know, they caught feelings. You know, they say that they generally, they caught
feelings.
As if it's a disease. You know,
right, okay.
And their cat, you know, she's going to. I mean, you can't help it if you're spending time with people and, you know, if the person has an attraction to you, that
it's
going to be hard. And then you end up hurting them, because if there's a sexual attraction between people, whether it's, you know, male, female, 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 male, whatever it is, you can't just be friends. It doesn't work. And if she has those feelings for you, it's going to be difficult for you just to keep it as friends.
All right,
and,
so I'll back out of that then.
I mean, you know, be nice to her, but she's going to get hurt. You know, she has a grandmother who passed away that said, "You hurt her, John. I'm going to have to come kill you from the other side."
No, I want her. She's a sweet girl, and you know where my loyalty lies. My loyalty lies with Vivian. I love her with all my heart and soul, and I don't want to chance anything by losing
her.
You know,
right?
I don't.
And again, what I see with, you know, the woman that you know your soulmate that you want, she's just a very confused woman, and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's scared, and, you know, she's afraid. She's never really committed to anyone. She's never been loyal to anyone, ever.
Right.
So this is something that it might be, because sometimes people are just afraid to love somebody who could die in them or who could leave them, so they don't really want, they always want to have one person here, one person there. She's not having so much fun out on the dating apps, by the way. So, you know, it's hard.
Can we get back together again? Can we get back together again?
Well, it looks like she will do this dance for you for a while. She'll come back and she'll run. So you had better be prepared. If she comes back, she's going to run again. And what they do with when they're this, she's a major commitment phobic. She's not a minor one. What they do is come back, wine and dine us, get us back again for a month or two or a few weeks, and then they run again. So
it's always been 3 or 4 months to her pattern. It's 3 or 4 months.
All right.
And then
so,
she runs.
All right, so be prepared. If she comes back, she may run again. And
so how do you stop that? How do you stop that?
You can't really stop it. They have to outgrow it or realize, you know, go to therapy and realize what she, you know, she needs therapy, this girl, to figure out why you're sabotaged. I mean, if she comes back again, you know, you might want to read her the Riot Act that, you know, this is the last time you can run from me. You know,
right.
So if you're here, you're here. But I'm not going to tell. Don't think you're going to run from me forever. Because, I've seen people do this dance for 10, 20 years with someone, by the way.
Yeah, I don't want to do this dance. Do you see that changing with my patients?
Well, I see, you know, there's, you know, she could change. I see right now she's, just not playing fair with you. When she misses you, which she does, she doesn't bother calling you because she doesn't want you to know she misses you.
Right.
She plays
misses
games
me, right?
with herself. She plays games with her own mind. Like probably
yes.
what she'd want to do right now is just come see you. But she doesn't
yep.
want to admit that she needs somebody.
You're right.
I mean, she's
I
not
feel
only.
That in my heart.
We were talking earlier. It's surrendering to love is one of the steps of love. Not just committing. You have to surrender
right.
to the fact that you want
right.
this person more than anybody, and that nothing is going to change that. And what happens is, people are just not surrendering now. At the moment, you know, she
mm-hmm.
commits to you for 3 months. Then the surrender has to happen. Okay, I need John more than anybody.
Right.
I want him. And then instead of doing that, she runs away and says, like, see, I don't really need him. I can, I don't.
Well, you know,
I
was doing
fine.
Wrong. I would. She would cause. She would create a diversion from old stuff we used to talk about, Cindy. And I would feed into it by saying, ah, and I used to get upset with her, yelled at. I should, you know, Sal said, just look at her in the eye, laugh, and walk out of the room. Say, look, I want to take a walk for you, cool down, because I'm not going to keep on going over this with you. And then there would have been a lot less arguing going on, because I attacked her on that, you know. Instead of just not, you know, when you're not guilty of that, there's nothing to attack or defend. You just walk away. You know, let me know when you calm down, because this is old shit already. It's not true. You know,
right, and also you have to learn righteous
out.
Anger, which is I love you and address facts and no screaming.
Yeah.
And okay, because what happens is you're bringing the love down, not to soulmate, to toxic.
Right.
And
right.
once it
I
goes toxic, it's an addiction. And why the hell does anybody want to stick around with something that gets toxic? But again, if it's
a
true commitment phobic, you can love them perfectly. The more
mm-hmm.
perfect you live, they run away. Like it's almost you can't do anything right or wrong. They're going to run.
Mm-hmm.
But don't allow her to bring out that part of you. You know, you
right,
want
the
love to bring her
right.
back.
Yeah.
Not the
yeah.
fact that you're you know, boy, we fight so nasty. Who the hell wants that?
No, exactly. Nobody wants that. I want the love. I want to bring the love back. Exactly. The way it was a year ago was incredible. Even when she came back, the first 4 months were incredible. It was just the end. When she left again, I was blew a cough. I was like, again? We're going to do this again, this dance? I was lost.
Of course. It is a dance. It is a dance where they come and run. But it's so contagious in the United States. It's so prevalent, this coming and going. I mean, I probably could build another house on the amount of money I'm going to make from this phenomena. Okay?
Doesn't she realize that I'm the guy for her, and there's nothing else out there that's going to love her like the way I do?
Well, she may realize that, but she hasn't surrendered to the fact she doesn't want to need anybody. She wants to believe
mm-hmm.
she could, you know, she doesn't trust that in love, and she doesn't trust, you know, in the whole process of love and the healing that it demands. She's really running
right.
from the higher love and the healing that it demands. And that's why when people run from intimate relationships, they're really running from healing. Because,
right.
you know, we could all seem enlightened if we all go live in a monastery with other enlightened beings and nobody has relationships
mm-hmm.
and nobody has kids and nobody has to worry about making money. Oh, yeah, we'll all seem enlightened.
Yeah.
Throw
mm-hmm.
in some kids and a relationship and money issues, and suddenly you see, you know, issues surface. And
you know, I'm
that's
constantly
what,
working on myself. I'm constantly
well, that's
working
what you
on myself.
Want
to
do.
Like this. I constantly work on myself to get myself to make myself better, to make myself more understanding, to make myself not fall into a situation where I'm not understanding, where I can give a little bit more, you know, of the right type of attitude and response to maybe she say something I could not, you know, say something negative. So I've really been working hard on myself.
Right. Of course. And
I
that's
think,
why
think,
all
I
you
think
can
in
do
the last,
is work
yeah,
hard
I think
on
in the last
yourself.
2 months, I got better, yeah.
Heal your issues. Remember, you have children that have been devastated by this situation. You might want to work on some of those relationships.
I have.
Spend
I've
some
been
time,
spending a lot more
spend
time,
some,
with,
spend time with them if you're
yeah.
lonely.
Yeah.
You know, open, you know, with that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just see you're going to just have to go, you know, don't chase her. Don't go
mm-hmm.
after her because
okay.
if you do that, she's going to run.
Okay. So wait
let
till
her
she contacts me.
Let her come to you and then, you know, see what she has to say. And
she's probably going to say, hey, listen, what are you doing? You want to go to yoga? If she does contact me, that's right. That'll be the tool that she'll go grab to. Because she tried that the other day with that girl, Kathy. She texted the both of us, hey, anybody up for yoga? She wouldn't text me. She put me in a group with her. Because she's playing that friend card.
Right. And again,
away?
I would not go in the friend zone with her.
No, I'm not. But is that going to go away? Do you see that going away in her, you know, coming back around?
I see you could. I mean, she's going to probably come around again, but I wouldn't bank on her, you know, until she really needs therapy. She really has issues.
You wouldn't bank on what?
On her as a person that you could have a happy, committed relationship with anytime
no,
soon.
Forever?
No, I didn't
anytime
say forever.
Soon.
Anytime soon. I mean, she's still got you know, issues. She's been in a long-term marriage that ended, and now she feels wants to see what's out there. Not that she wasn't seeing what was out there when she was married, by the way.
Right.
So she
was
always what
way.
I call a committed commitment phobic. She was married to a man she was never all that committed to. So
don't fool
that she's got, you know. And, you know, I think she's getting a lot of guidance that she's going to lose you. It's kind of scaring her. So just stay firm on it. And in the meantime, you know that true love, you know, we have to be able to stand on our own two feet separately, strong. And just you have to show strength to her because her husband was a very weak man that she bossed around and did whatever she wanted.
Yeah, not
she's
me.
She's trying to almost do that to you, break you.
I said, did you ever have a man talk to you like this, tell you straight to your face? She said, never. That's what I liked about you when I first met you. I told her that just last week. I was telling her, did you ever have a guy talk to you the way I talk to you and telling you, you know, the way it is? She says, no. And I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean in a nice way, you know? She says, no, I never had a guy like that talk to me. So I was like, so why don't you just stop already and let's start the slate clean and start all over. We started this thing our lives, you know? So I'm hopeful that she's going to – I have a feeling that I'm going to get another chance for her to come back. And then once she does, I'm going to ask her to start going to therapy or a 12-step program because I think she needs it.
Right, she does. And that's what I said. And, you know, if without it, you know, Nicole's been listening to the show long enough. If some people just really, without therapy, they're not going
to
heal. I mean, other people
are
quite capable.
She goes to therapy once a week, I think.
Okay, but
sometimes once a week in Manhattan.
Okay, but if you go to a therapist once a week and you're not getting better, you need a new therapist already.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, sometimes, you know, therapist, it gets to be a really easy job when you go and talk about the same bullshit that happened 40 years ago over and over again every week. But,
She had one for 20 years. I said, listen, you're donating $200 a week for this lady. She's doing nothing. I see no growth in you whatsoever. She switched her.
Well, that was because what happens is, you know, I always tell my clients, you know, my job is not to keep you mentally ill. My job is to kick you in the ass and move your life forward. If you want to stay mentally ill, stay with, you know, stay with your therapist you've been with 20 years. Nothing's happened with that one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Nothing changes.
So sometimes we can go
right.
to therapy and we're not really being honest and we're not really talking about things. And if the therapist gets lazy or just doesn't want to or isn't a very good therapist, they just take your money and they don't make, you know, it's like you feel like you're doing something to get better, but you're really not. So
I feel she still sabotages herself all the time with me.
Don't blame the therapist. That is a cop-out. Do not blame that therapist. You blame her because you and I both know that she's not 100% honest with that therapist. And if therapy goes to work, you need
She's
to
not.
Be
You're
honest.
Right. Yeah.
And it's true. And they also need to be a therapist who will tell people if you're not going to be honest
Blame
with
the
me.
Therapist.
But if they're not going to be honest, like if you ever, like when I have readings and, you know, people can't really lie to me because the dead will tell me they're lying. But if they do lie, I'll tell them I can't help you. You need to go elsewhere. Because if you're going to lie to me, I can't help you. I won't have you keep coming for readings if you're going to be lying to me.
Yeah.
It's a waste of my time.
People like you, unfortunately.
And it's a waste of your time. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't need, you know, I read way too many people. If you're going to not, and I'm tired.
Yeah.
So if you're going to just waste my time, get out of here.
Yeah, don't bother. Right.
Don't bother. But,
well,
you know, but it's true. She, you know, therapists have to call people on their lies. And if you're going to, and also if it's really, if you're in therapy a long time, it's not helping. Switch therapists. Maybe that therapist has helped you all they can.
I'm going to see if I can help her out of that again. I'm going to see if I can help her out of that again and say, listen, you know, we shouldn't be having this. You know, when we're together, it's just incredible. We went to upstate skiing. 14 hours we were together. I looked at her and I said, we were together 14 hours. She goes, I know. It's like an hour. I said, you see how it is when we're together? So why are we going through this shit?
Because she's unhealed. Because she's unhealed. Because she's unhealed. And unhealed people, hurt people hurt people. That's what it comes down to. She's a hurt person. She's a wounded person. And also, when you're with a person who's screwed up, then you don't have to heal your issues. If she's with someone who's working on his issues and healing his issues, then she has to look at her own issues. And I don't think she wants to look at them at this point. So if you keep going after on these dating sites and you keep meeting guys who are all screwed up and all that, well, you're better than them, aren't you? And then you don't have to worry. You know, they need fixing, not you.
Right.
So I always have to tell clients, if you're running from a person who's really trying to love you and being good, you might want to look at what's wrong with you at this point.
Right.
Because
so she's not going to – nothing. That's gonna, she's going to fall on her face with that crap, right?
Well, it looks like it here. But anyway, we're at the end of our show, and we're going to cut us off in about a minute.
Right.
So, John, call in and let us know what happens. Again,
last words. She comes back around again in a couple of weeks, you think?
Oh, it looks like she probably will. But, again, if she comes around, be you know, she hasn't done anything to heal herself. So,
yeah,
you know,
gotta have that
just
talk with
keep
her.
Your guard up a little bit.
All right.
Otherwise, you're going to get hurt from her.
Yeah, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get hurt.
No, of course not. Well, good luck to you. Call in again.
Thanks for helping me out all the time.
Bye. Good night.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Good night.
Now,
John.
Of course, we love Nicole tonight. And, of course, you know, you're right, Nicole. You know, the therapist can't. But we're talking – I do have clients that have been in therapy for 25 years, and they're still talking about the same issues. And I'm like, come on. You know, you keep going back to the therapist who's not helping you.
Every therapist out there is great. Yeah, I'm not saying that every therapist out there is great. I'm sure that some of them are absolutely wonderful. And
of course, we have
some
plenty of them.
Some of them are not, you know, like just like anything else. If you are a therapist, that is great. But you know what? Somebody had to graduate bottom of the class. Okay? What did they call the doctor that graduated at the bottom of his class? They call him doctor. Okay? Doesn't make him an extraordinary doctor, just like a therapist. Doesn't make them an extraordinary therapist, you know. But you know what? They still get the title. So
but
that's fine.
But it's also sometimes
but don't
people
go automatically to the therapist. Because this particular person, and we heard John week over week, you know, discuss what this girl was doing to him. And you know what? The bottom line is, regardless of her health issues, regardless of anything else, she was not behaving karmically correct. She was using excuse after excuse, and she was shitting on him. So you know what? Yeah, she came back, and that's wonderful that she came back for a little while, and now she's pulling her bullshit again. And you know what? I'm going to say the same thing that I told John last time. I personally believe that he needs to move on from her, get that he loves her, but you know what? She is not healed, and he owes it to himself. He's a great guy. He owes it to himself to be with somebody who is a healed person. Okay, you don't go out and buy a new 4,000K UHD TV and say, you know what, this is a great TV, it's top of the line, but it doesn't really do UHD, and you're only going to get 1080, and you know what, one of the HDMI ports is broken. Okay, no, you don't do that. You go out and you get what you want, okay, which is all of the bells and whistles. This girl is broken, and unless she's going to go and fix herself, not let him fix her, not let anybody else fix her, let her fix her damn self. This will always wind up the same way for him.
Exactly. And it's one of those things. It's sad, and we started our show on that talk about people that won't commit and that ghost and disappears,
mm-hmm.
and we ended it on the ghosting and the disappearing. So it seems to be something in the air, and, you know, you can't make people heal. They have to heal themselves, and that's
exactly.
for sure.
Yep.
Well, anyway, we're at the end of our show. We'll talk next week. And thanks, everybody, for being patient with us tonight. And we'll all speak next week. Have a great
week.
All
right, Cindy. Bye.
Bye.